Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a very interesting and very different show lined up for you today. I have a special person who's agreed to be on the program. Daisy Maxey is a reporter and journalist for Dow Jones. She recently wrote an article that I saw in the Wall Street Journal, "When is a fee-only advisor not really a fee-only advisor?" And the subtitle, "It's complicated and that's what creates headaches for advisors and their clients." And to help us talk through that, Daisy's on the line. Daisy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. It's great to talk to you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I thank you again for making time. I know you're very, very busy meeting deadlines and getting stories written, and I've written some myself, so I know that is an art, and it takes a lot of time.
That's right, but it's great to get to chat with people like you to keep in touch with what's going on in the industry.
Well, I will tell you everything I know.
Great.
Well, the reason I wanted this to be a discussion we could have, you know, everybody's busy and maybe they'll get a chance to always read every article, every place. But what struck me about this is, you know, a lot of people, when I read your article in the Wall Street Journal, this was back November 11th of 2013, it really brought to my mind that really into focus that your discussion was about, you know, what's a fee-only advisor? There's a lot of questions in the industry, the financial service industry itself about that. And there's some confusion, which then leads to confusion for advisors and then potentially for clients. And what occurred to me, which is why I wanted you on the program, is that there is this massive lack of understanding among the everyday people about how advisors work and how they're compensated. And this whole ball of wax is almost like advisors are kind of all lumped in together as a generic, I'm not going to say commodities, but generic things, and you find one you like and you do business with them. I mean, so yeah. I guess, you know, that's kind of what I'm seeing. And so let's help people understand what this is about.
Well, you're right. It's very confusing. And that's what really spurred me to want to write this story was that just to unravel it all in the course of doing stories, it becomes very confusing. And I find that often broker-dealers are confused about rules surrounding their business, and the registered investment advisors themselves often are confused about varying rules. Now, you throw a poor investor in there who is walking in the door of someone's business and trying to figure this all out, and it's just a maze for them. And I find that they are often very in the dark on many of the – they don't even know the questions to ask. And they don't understand anything about the regulation, which is obviously a huge part of this as well.
Yeah, and there may be relationships that advisors, so they've walked into that advisor's office, but they may not even know about relationships that that advisor has with various third parties that could have a very significant impact on how that advisor is going to work with that client.
That's right, and that's partly why I got into the confusion over these terms, fee-only and fee-based and commission and fee, and there are so many different ones that different kinds of advisors use. But, you know, an advisor will say, "I'm fee-only," and, I take that to mean, and I think the understanding among a lot of people in the industry is that this advisor takes a fee only from their clients. They're not taking fees from commissions for selling stocks or buying annuities. They're getting a flat fee, a percentage of assets under
right.
management, or an hourly fee. And then fee-based is starting to be used. Now, that's confusing some people because they hear fee-based and they think this is a fee-only advisor.
Yep.
This isn't a broker-dealer who's here to try to sell me something because they're going to get a big fat commission on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, and that's exactly where the confusion comes. And for the investor, they don't even know those questions to ask. And it does get very murky. But what's funny about it, Daisy, is that in the real world that we live in, when we don't deal with this kind of stuff, in the real world, you know, if you say the word only, it means only, right?
It should. But in this industry, yeah, it doesn't always mean only.
Well, let me let you in on one of the things that, you know, I told you could pick my brain because I'm in the middle of this industry.
And I'd love to hear your side of this.
I will tell you this. The only place that has more spin than politics is financial services. In fact, if the financial service people ever wanted to get into politics, they would wipe the floor with the politicians, okay? Because the spin, what you're referring to about, you know, somebody being fee only, and then, you know, I've seen situations and I've read about them. I read a lot of these things. I follow the industry. And, you know, you have somebody who says, hey, I'm fee only. They've got an investment firm and they only charge fees, and that's true. But then when they go and do something else, they get a commission or they get paid by somebody else fees that are for placing a product. Now they've changed their role and they haven't made that clear to the consumer. It's the same thing as dealing with this question of the word fiduciary.
Right, and that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, because it gets down to how advisors are regulated, how much they have to disclose, and you know, registered investment advisors are regulated generally by the SEC. Now, if they manage less, as you well know, if they manage less than $100 million, they must register with a state securities agency. But they're considered a fiduciary, which means that they have to act in a client's best interest. Now, that's not the case, as you know, with a broker-dealer.
That's right.
They operate under this rule of suitability, doing what's suitable for the investor,
and which may or may not be best
in their best interest. That's right.
Well, and the fiduciary thing is, I do tell people this. I do get sometimes on my soapbox on this program and in person when I meet with people, and there's a real simple way to find out if somebody's a fiduciary.
And how do you do that?
You ask.
That's right.
Literally, you ask, because it's kind of like being pregnant. Yep. Pregnant, you can't be a little pregnant. I mean, you either are or you aren't. So this is for my listeners, and this can be for your readers. If you ask somebody, are you a fiduciary, here's a deal. They know. They know whether they are. An advisor knows whether he or she is a fiduciary or not. It's not a mystery. It's like, what did you have for breakfast? They know. So if you say, are you a fiduciary, and if you start hearing hemming and hawing, or there's any ambivalence at all, they're not. So
that's why we have to educate people.
I know.
Because how many investors wouldn't even know to ask the question?
I know. I'm trying, and you are too.
That's right. And the word really has to get out about this. And even this odd situation, as you know, where you can fall under the fiduciary standard when you're giving advice, as some brokers do, and then under the rules, the FINRA rules, when you're doing commission work.
Yeah.
And does the investor know that this broker suddenly changed their hat and now they're not acting in my best interest, or now they are? They have no idea.
And that's where they got it. That's the education. And that's what I was speaking to when we started, is there is this massive lack of understanding. You know, it reminds me of when quote unquote, the public started to understand better how, for example, the car sales worked. You know, now we know a lot more about how dealers work versus once upon a time, we had no idea how they did what they did. You know, technology has allowed people to learn more and more about cars and what the dealer, you know, what the costs are. So I would encourage people, you know, they can go, of course, access internet, access websites, and they can do, you know, they can look into these things. They can look up their advisor to find out about affiliations. If they're with a broker dealer, they can, you know, they can go to FINRA, like you mentioned. That's the broker-dealer oversight. And they can go to the SEC. They can go to the CFP if they're a certified financial planner. So there's a lot of these resources. It's just a matter of letting people know they're out there.
Right. And I know that folks at FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, they put out a lot of information on this. The SEC has a lot of information on their site to educate investors. But I'd love to hear your thoughts, David, on the idea of of changing this fiduciary standard, of having a universal standard, or if you think this is a possibility.
All right. To get that answer, they're going to have to come back after the break, Daisy. Daisy Maxey's my guest, reporter-journalist for Dow Jones, and I saw her article and I just had to have her on. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and answer Daisy's questions. Stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back with Daisy Maxey, reporter and journalist for Dow Jones. And I ran across her article. We've been talking about some of the confusion in the public and the world about advisors and how they're compensated, how they do what they do. And so Daisy, right before the break, wanted to turn and get my opinion about the fiduciary. And the question is, Daisy, will we get a comprehensive single definition of fiduciary?
Do you think that's a reality, that
No.
We could have everyone working under a fiduciary standard?
I think we will have a single definition of fiduciary, what it means, but I don't think everybody will work underneath it. And the answer here, and I'm very careful on my show not to beat up other advisors or firms, but, okay, I don't see how. I think it's going to be an extraordinary overhaul for broker-dealers that they move to a fiduciary standard for their representatives, because the distribution of product and the way those compensation arrangements are figured, that would be a massive upheaval. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
I'm just saying from a practical standpoint, it's kind of like we're going to simplify the tax code. And every time they say that, Daisy, you know what they do? They add 1,000 pages.
They make it more complicated.
So That's what's happening here. And so that's why, you know, there is not going to be, I really don't believe it, that they're going to embrace a single, everybody is a fiduciary. That means that the stockbroker or the registered representative of a broker-dealer can no longer recommend that real estate investment trust that pays the commission that is has limited liquidity and, you know, is not the best choice for the person.
Yes, I agree. I think it's going to be very, very hard to work as a traditional broker-dealer under the fiduciary standard. And one of the things I didn't mention is that this fiduciary standard, it relates to how much these advisors disclose when they work with investors. If you're working
yeah.
as a fiduciary, you have to disclose conflicts of interest, costs to your clients. And if you're working under the suitability standard, as a broker-dealer does today, you needn't divulge all the compensation arrangements and conflicts of interest.
Daisy, that's your end workaround. That's the solution. In the meantime, while we continue to have this ongoing dialogue that's going to go on forever, where it probably never is going to happen, what the consumer can do is take control of their own situation. You know, it's like voting in an election. You can cast your vote. You can't control the election, but you can cast your vote. You can cast your vote for how you work with an advisor. You know, the consumer drives all of this. So if somebody goes into an advisor's office and the advisor presents recommendations after hopefully a thorough understanding of the client's situation, and the client, the customer, the person, the investor, asks, and please explain to me, in fact, I'd like it in writing, how you will be compensated for doing this work for me and all fees.
That's
will you be
really
compensated?
Excellent advice.
And will you be compensated by anybody else that you are not sharing with me? I'd like that information. If you get any hesitation, get up and walk out. Because that advisor is, if they are uncomfortable. See, I tell you right now, and I'm getting a little bit on my pulpit here, but Daisy.
I hear you getting on the soapbox.
But I'm on that box. Because when I work with somebody, they know exactly what we're paid. I'm not bashful about it. There's no reason to be. We all have to be compensated for what we do. So here's how I get paid a fee. Here's what the funds cost. Here's what the transaction costs are. If I am recommending an insurance-based product, here's what the company's going to pay me.
And as you know, investors often are so intimidated, and they shouldn't be.
You know what the truth is? We won't accept this kind of ignorance on our own part in pretty much any other field. The only one that is medical, right. The only one other one is medical, where we're a little bit uncomfortable saying, how much is that test going to cost me? You know, we're a little bit reluctant on that, but, or asking the doctor how they're compensated by third parties. But,
well, they're taking on the healthcare system now, so it's time to start talking with your advisor about how much, how they're getting compensated as well.
Amen. And the point, Daisy, is we don't allow it, in, besides medical, which we're working on, we don't allow this kind of an ignorance in any other area of our lives. How much is a car going to cost? Give me the out the door, tax title tag, dealer prep, out the door. How much?
And how important is this to these consumers' lives?
I know it's a bit of a rhetorical question, because the answer is absolutely critical. You know, there's been all these studies done about just a simple, you know, 1% difference in cost over time. How many, you know, depending on the size of the person's account, it could be tens of thousands of dollars over time. But it's not just the cost, it's the motivations. Maybe the cost really isn't that big of a difference ultimately to the consumer, but it's what's prompting and driving the advisor to make the recommendation. Sometimes, you know, an advisor person walks in and they say, I'm looking for whatever, and the advisor already knows what he's going to recommend before the person speaks. And that's the problem.
That's right. And I've heard some people in the consumer protection who work with to protect consumers say, it's not about fiduciary. It's not about suitability. It's not about broker-dealer or all these different titles, registered investment advisor. It's about disclosure. It's about being upfront and honest with consumers about who's paying you and what your motivation is. And also, I think we should say, you know, I at least am not intending to condemn any certain area, broker-dealers or RIAs or fee and commission workers, whatever they may be, just to say that these are different and everyone offers a different motivation to do something different for the client, and folks who walk into the office of an advisor should be aware of that.
I can't agree more, Daisy. I think the key point is what you said is the disclosure. So, and again, I'm not looking to pick on anybody, because there's a lot of different models that can be used for delivering services. And I would tell you that there are times when, you know, this isn't where fee only or a fee advisor versus commission is better. That's not necessarily true or even preferred. It really depends on the circumstances. Now, with that said, there are certain products where, you know, the commission is the only way to get it, or certain things where fee is better. But the real key is that disclosure you talked about. So, for example, if you walk into someone that maybe they work for a life insurance company, and they work in the office that the insurance company pays for and pays for the receptionist, well, if you have a life insurance need, which company are you going to get?
Right. And what is the big fat commission going to be on that product to that broker?
And so it needs to be full disclosure. What will be the commission? But even more important than the commission, is this the best product? In other words, am I in the right place? Do you have access to other companies? Are you acting as an advisor, or are you a product provider? Because if you're acting as the product provider, then you're not acting as an advisor. I need to be the advisor, being the investor, or I need to have somebody chaperone me and help me pick between you and other choices.
And that's part of what the suitability standard has tried to contain, because at least they want to say that this broker-dealer has to pick, say, if you're putting someone in an annuity, you don't put someone who's 85 years old in an annuity where their money is going to be locked up for the next 15 years.
Exactly. So, but the big thing, I think you've hit it on the head with your writings, Daisy, and also what we've talked about today, it's number one, it's the consumer being aware about there being all this stuff, first of all. But secondly, also knowing, being aware and knowing that it's okay to ask. It's not taboo. It's not inappropriate. It's okay to ask, tell me how it works. And if they start looking away or they start stammering, I can tell you, because I've worked in the financial field for over 20 years, they are in the wrong place.
Yes, that's certainly true. And education is key. And investors can't always expect we can do what we can, and advisors who are doing the right thing will work to, and I know many who are working to educate consumers, but investors have to take some of that on themselves and get onto some of these websites and find out how this works, because I can tell you, in my article, I discuss how even within the industry, there are debates going on about what these terms mean. So there's so much confusion that you really have to work hard to understand it and then to find somebody that you trust.
Yeah, that's the key. It needs to be, there's three ingredients. You know, the first one's easy. Everybody gets the consumer. I want to like my advisor, because if you don't like them, it's going to be real hard to work with them, right? But the next two are really the key. You need so we got to like them. Number two, we need to expect them or believe that they know what they're doing. And three, you got to trust them.
That's right. And when you look at what happened with in this 2008 with some of the frauds and that went on and Bernie Madoff and these kinds of things, you know, people will make the point that you can't regulate everything, that the people who are out to take advantage of an investor are not going to pay attention to the regulations.
No.
So it's very, very important that you have that trust and you establish it and you really know who you're working with.
And trust, but what was it? Was it Reagan? Trust, but verify?
Yeah, that means go. Very important here.
Yeah, go. Don't just take their word for it. Well, he said he was a good guy. You've got to trust. You've got to verify. And Daisy, I hope you continue to write articles and stories like you did, the one I saw in the Wall Street Journal. Daisy Maxey's been our guest, reporter, journalist for Dow Jones. And I'm going to put both my books in the mail to you, Daisy, and I want you to let me know what else I can do to help with your mission.
Thank you so much, David. It's been great talking with you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland. There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.